How are you doing, Encounter Church? How are you doing this evening? I'm excited to be with you guys. We want to welcome our online community as well. We invite you to subscribe and like our Facebook page and YouTube channel so that you can follow along and be part of our online community as well. And God has something special for you as well as the people here tonight. Well, we are on, what is it, July 31st, right? I mean, can you believe it? I feel like just yesterday was like middle of May. And a couple more weeks, kids will be going back to school, season's starting to change. I don't know about you guys, but we went on a family vacation. How many of you guys were able to go on a vacation or have a vacation planned? A lot of people around here? Yeah? Okay. Sweet. We were able to do that a few weeks ago. We went back to Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, to hang out with Ashley's family and have a good time there. And we did a lot of water sports and things like that. And on one specific occasion, we were going over to her sister's, and her sister has a pool. And so on the drive over there, we were talking to my three-year-old son, Peter, about getting in the pool, because he really hasn't spent a lot of time in the pool. He's gone to like the little tiny kiddie pools that go up to his knees, but this is like a for real pool. And we're telling him, like, hey, we're going to go to this pool. You know, your cousins are going to be there. They're just a couple years older than him, so he's, you know, likes playing with them and stuff. It's going to be a great time. We're all going to get in the pool, have a good time. And he was kind of like, eh, we'll see. You know, it was kind of his attitude in the car. And we got to the pool, and right away he was not having it. He was like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to get in the pool. His cousins are, you know, splashing, having a good time. His uncles. And as we kind of get comfortable with the environment, he starts to hang out right next to the pool and starts playing with like the water guns and like squirting his cousins from the side and stuff. But he's not like getting in. And the picture as that was beginning to happen and unfold that God gave me, and this is what we're going to kind of talk about tonight, is that like my son, there are people in the body of Christ who like to be around God's presence, who like to be around God's love and power and transformation, but have a hard time going all in with him. We like to hang out on the sides. We like to be around it. We like to see it happening, but really going all in and diving all in, like my son, he was really kind of resistant. He was holding back. And it wasn't until I got into the pool, I said, well, I'm going to have a good time. So if you just want to hang out there and squirt your cousins, that's fine, but I'm going to get in and have a good time. And so I got in, started kind of going around. I got his little squirt gun and started squirting him. And as I began to do that, something began to change in him. Whatever was holding him back, and it was fear, it was the unknown, began to change. And within about 2 minutes of me getting in the pool and playing around and splashing, he said, Daddy, I want to get into the pool. And the reason is because my son trusts me. And he saw what was going on. He said, what I'm experiencing here isn't enough. Me hanging out here outside looking in, that all that my cousins are enjoying, now that my father is enjoying, this out here is not enough. I need to go all in. I need to get wet. I need to get submerged. I need to get into this pool to enjoy this. So I'm like, awesome, man. So we put on the floaties because he still is kind of learning how to swim and keep his head above water. Put the floaties, get him in. We couldn't get him out of that pool for like an hour and a half. I mean, just cruising around. I was getting tired. I'm like, can we get out, buddy? A little bit more. And he's just like having the time of his life. But in the beginning, there was something holding him back. And I believe for all of us, there are things in life that hold us back from going all in with God. And God wants to change some of that this evening. He wants to be in to help us be alert to maybe some of the things that hold us back from going all in and stop just being around what God is doing, but be in what is God is doing in this church, in our lives, in our families, in every aspect. And you may be sitting there saying, well, Pastor, and I kind of like hanging out. You're like, I like sunbathing on the side of the pool. I don't really like getting in. I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. I don't really like getting wet. Maybe I'll put my toes in a little bit. I'm not totally sold. Like, why? Why should I go all in with God? Why should I jump in with what he has? Why can't I just kind of enjoy the experience of the pool, right? Enjoy what's going on around the pool. And The picture that I had was of a baseball team and a baseball player going up to bat. I know our softball team just wrapped up their last game. Was it Monday night, right? I hear you guys were so good that the team was so scared they didn't even show up, right? You guys intimidated them. So, I love baseball. I played baseball from 6 years old till about middle of high school. I don't have many regrets in my life. The one regret that I have is my freshman year of high school. I stopped playing baseball for 1 year to play football. I'd never played football before. And when I went back to baseball the following year, the kids' pitches had gone from like 60 miles an hour to 80 miles an hour. I didn't get a base hit all season. So that was kind of, if you were to ask me if you have a regret in your life, that would be one of them. But I went and played football instead of baseball. Just should have just stuck with what I knew. Anyway, the idea, because you may be asking yourself, like, why? Why commit? Why go all in? Why? I'm comfortable kind of holding back in certain areas of my life. And it's like a baseball player coming up to bat. You know, if a baseball player is up to bat, and if he holds back or she holds back when the ball comes in and kind of does a half, it's going to be a strike. Or if they maybe kind of swing a little bit, it's going to pop up. It's not going to go the distance. And then they're going to get an out for the team, and the whole team is going to suffer. But if the baseball player sees the ball coming in and he commits and he connects with that ball, doesn't hold back that swing, he's going to get on base. He's maybe going to get a double, maybe a home run. Who knows what's going to happen? And that will help the entire team. We are a body. And if any one of us is holding back in our personal walk with God, it hurts the body. It hurts the kingdom. It hurts what God wants to do collectively in this room, in your family, and in this world when we hold back and not commit, not go all in to what God is wanting to do in this church and in our lives. And so I was thinking about this and chewing on that, and I just have three quick examples in Scripture of what happens when you hold back, what maybe some things that would hold you back from going all in and committing fully with where God is at. Because I don't know about you, when I was thinking about that, I was like, well, God, I'm totally committed to you. I'm all in. I'm like swimming with you. I'm not holding anything back. And God's like, what about that? What about that? What about that? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I kind of forgot about those things. One of the ones he pointed out to me was like, Aaron, you're not all in with me. You're holding back in your personal time, how you spend your personal time. He said to me, he's like, are you willing to do what it takes now so that you have what it takes later? I was like, wow, all right, God. I'm obviously holding something back when it comes to how I spend my free time and my time with you. And so tonight I'm just going to share a couple quick examples, and we're going to be looking at the children of Israel and their process of leaving Egypt and getting to the promised land for the first time, and some aspects that may be showing up in your own life. When you hear these, you may go, that's it. That's the thing that's kind of holding me back in this area with my walk with God. And so I want to paint this picture for you, and this comes out of Exodus, and this is Exodus 14, verse 10. Exodus 14, 10. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there if you like. Exodus 14, 10. And what has just happened is that the children of Israel have just left Egypt. They're cool, like it's been a week. They're like, this is what freedom is like? This is awesome. This is amazing. And they get to the Red Sea. They're like, wow, we've never even been here before. This is like awesome. Look at this. This is beautiful. What are we going to do, Moses? Where are we going next? You know? And then Pharaoh hears that they're just kind of hanging out, chilling by the Red Sea. And he's like, this was the dumbest idea in the world to let those guys go. Let's go get them. So he gets his 600 chariots, his army, and he goes and chases them down. And it says here, and this is where we pick up in Exodus 14:10. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. The people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you would take us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, right? Sometimes God's like, hey, let's go. And you're like, leave me alone. I'm kind of good where I'm at. And Moses said to them, fear not, stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again, and the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Maybe your past is what's holding you back. The Israelites looked up, and they saw Pharaoh coming after them. They looked back to where they had come, and they see their past chasing them down. And what I love is that Moses says to them, stop looking at your past, Turn, look and see what God is about to do. Look to the future. Look to where God is leading you and guiding you. Forget about the past because he already has. And let me lead you to where I want you to be. Let's go all in together. Let's hold nothing back. You may feel like your past is holding you back right now from certain areas of your walk with God, certain areas of trusting God. You're like, God, this happened and this happened. And if that happened to me before, how can I trust you? That's not going to happen again. And you hold back. And God's challenging you and encouraging you, saying, will you trust me? And will you stop looking at your past? Because I quit looking at it long ago. And will you start looking at the future? Will you start looking at me and go all in with me? And I love it, that last part there. He says, see today, you shall never see them again. True story. They never saw the Egyptians again. The Red Sea parts, they march through on dry land. The Egyptians follow, and they get washed away when the sea comes back on them. And they never get harassed by the Egyptians again. That's what God has done to your past already. So don't let that hold you back. Walk into what God has. Go all in. Don't be held back by your past. Don't be held back by your past. It's not worth it. The next one comes a little bit later, and this is in Numbers 13:31. Numbers 13, verse 31. And this is after they've gone through the wilderness. We've gotten the Ten Commandments. We've gotten the tabernacle. We've gotten like all that good stuff. And they get to the Promised Land for the first time, and they send 12 spies. They pick one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they send them in the Promised Land. They're checking out. They're like, whoa, this is like really flowing with milk and honey. Look, there's Winnie the Pooh, and there's this like lava lamp of honey. This is awesome, you know, and it's just like amazing. But then they also see all the cities and fortified places and all the people. It says some of them were giants, large people. They see all this, and they come back to give the report to the Israelites and tell them about it. And it says here in Numbers 13:31, I'll actually back up and start in verse 30 for you. It says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we are well able to overcome it. And when the men who have come up with us said, then the men who came up with us said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. So they brought the people of Israel to a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone and spied out is a land that is diverse and it is in its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are great in height. They're kind of big dudes. They like, could definitely do a basketball team, guys, and we're not tall enough for that. And it says, there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and we seemed ourselves like grasshoppers, so we seemed to them. It's interesting that it all has to do with how they see things. But if you see that right there, the children of Israel, they're saying, we saw these big people and fortresses and things, and so we know that they probably saw us like grasshoppers, so we're done. Too big. The problems are too big in the Promised Land, so we're done. We're good. We're parking right here. We're going to set up camp and enjoy life because this is as far as I'm willing to go with God. Those problems, the circumstances, the issues, the giants that we face in this land are too big because we perceive them that way. We see them as larger than life and bigger and stronger than we are. But I got to tell you, giants are only as big as you make them out to be. They're only as big as you make them out to be. It doesn't matter if it's a health problem. It doesn't matter if it's a financial issue. It doesn't matter if it's your sibling who has walked away from God and living like hell. It doesn't matter what it is. The giants that we may face are only as big as we make them out to be. Because God has said, I have already overcome. I have already won for you. I already have the victory. Now, how do you perceive that problem? Do you perceive it as larger than life and so big that we're done? God, I can't. I got to hold back. I can't go that much further. We're done. Or do we go, okay, we can face those giants. And I love the attitude of Joshua and Caleb, because they're like, guys, this is like cake. Like, what? This is a problem for the rest of you? We didn't talk about this around the campfire. Like, last night, we didn't have a powwow about what we were going to tell everybody. That's so humorous to me. I'm like, do you guys didn't talk about this? Like, leading up to it, it was just like you all like wrote down your own notes and didn't share with anybody, and it was going to be like a big surprise. I don't quite get that part of it, but okay. But what I love about that is that you see that with Joshua and Caleb, they saw those giants, those fortified cities, as what they were. Nothing compared to God. Nothing compared to what God had in store. And out of everybody, they're the only ones who got to go into the promised land. They got to experience all that God had. They were able to go all in because they didn't hold anything back when they saw those giants and those problems. So I encourage you, when you see problems, when you see giants, go, how am I perceiving that thing in my life? That doctor report, that bill that just came, how do I perceive that? It's funny, right now, just this week, Ashley and I got a medical bill that we were not expecting at all, and we like don't have the money for that bill. We're like, awesome. I'm sure you guys have been there before, right? You're like, oh, cool. Thanks, doc. And the way that we're viewing it is like, yeah, God's got it. He's paid for everything that we could ever need, every problem we've ever run into. God's taking care of it. God's helped us out. Not worried about it. God, you have it. That is a small thing. That amount is a small thing compared to you. And that's how we need to approach every situation, every giant in our lives. So don't let giants hold you back. It's not worth it. And finally, people. This is like the close to home gut punch one. I don't like this one. I kind of just want to end the service. Can we just end? No, okay. I'll do it. God told me to, so I will. People. And this picks up in the very next verse. Sometimes people can hold us back. We look at, well, how many people are raising their hands today? If like that group is, then okay, amen, praise you, Jesus. Oh, well, that person is kind of uncomfortable. I don't know if I'm going to go all in this situation with my walk with God. And we begin to look at the people around us, and we begin to judge how deep, how far we should go with God based on what everyone else is doing and their walks with God. Well, if it's okay for them, then it's probably okay for me. Well, if it's not, they don't like that, so then I definitely don't like that. And before we know it, we're looking at everyone around us to judge and dictate whether or not we should hold back or go forward with God. Instead of saying, all right, God, what do you want me to do? This is between you and me, and I'm looking to you first. And am I surrounding myself with people who are going to push me closer to you or people that are going to hold me back in my walk with you? In this example here, it's the very next set of scripture here in chapter 14, verse 1. It says, then all the congregation, after hearing this, raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we would have died in the land of Egypt, or that we would have died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and little ones would become prey? Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader to go back to Egypt. You can't tell me out of 3 million people that there weren't a few people that sided with Joshua and Caleb. In that big congregation, hearing the report, you can't tell me that 100% of them were just like, we're done. There were people in there going, you know what? I think I know God. God's done so much to get us here. We can do it. But before you know it, because they're seeing, oh, that group of people, that tribe is not down with going into the promised land. Oh, and those guys, they want to like stone Moses and Aaron, right? Aaron right now. Wow, I don't know about that. And before you know it, they're looking at everybody else, and then the whole congregation's like, forget it, we're done. And the people around each other held each other back from going in all in to what God had. They held each other back. I was thinking about it today. I cannot imagine how Joshua and Caleb must have felt, going, seriously? I got to hang out with you dudes for 40 years till all you kick the can, then I can go into what I wanted to do in the first place. I was all in with God, and I got to wait. Because, guys, I don't know about you. I don't want to just skirt the sides and hang around on the outside. I want to be all in with God and what he's doing. I don't just want to participate and see what's going on. I want to be all in with what God is doing. I know you do, too. I know you're like, I want that in my life. You see, you give power to others over your future when you don't speak up. You begin to look to the other people around you to tell you whether you should hold back or move forward. A quick example in my own life. When I was about 20, I was working part-time here as a sound tech. This is way back, old building. And we had like three guys working. We had two on the stage and one up in the booth and stuff. And so one of the guys that I worked with, isn't here anymore, doesn't matter. He and I became close friends. We kind of became thick as thieves. Both go to church here. Both of our family is solid here. It's all good. And we love Jesus. So, you know, after work, like, oh, let's go hang out. Let's do stuff. And so before you know it, like, we're chilling several times a week. We're spending a lot of time together, hanging out, having a good time. But what began to happen that I began to notice, I was like, man, when I'm around with this guy, like, we start talking about stuff and, like, cracking jokes and gutter talk and stuff that, like, I never really used to do. And, I mean, when I'm hanging out with him, like, my mind, like, towards the church is kind of negative instead of positive. You know, he's got a lot of bad mouth and things to say about the worship team that we help. And, you know, like, I kind of now think that that worship guy is really dumb and that hair is super stupid, you know, whatever it was. And before you know it, I'm seeing that my attitude is beginning to be held back and my walk with God is becoming more and more held back and stunted. And I'm holding back with my walk with God. And I don't really talk about God with him anymore because I can tell, like, well, this is something you don't really care about unless we're kind of at church. And they kind of put on the churchy face. And now I'm kind of starting to put on churchy face. Like, what is happening here? And so there came a point. And this is very hard, but I had to have a conversation with him. I said, bro, I love you. You're an awesome guy, but it really hurts me when we hang out. And I can tell that there's a difference with how I talk to God, how I view people when we hang out, man. And I think we just need to, like, kind of chill. We kind of broke up that day, you know, friendship breakup. but you know, and he was like, well, holier than thou, like, who are you, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And thankfully, we kind of mended things, and it was okay. But from that point on, I didn't really spend a lot of time outside of, you know, work with him. And it was almost like in the course of 2-3 weeks, I began to see things change, and I began to see my walk with God be refreshed, and people who I was starting to judge and think, particularly in our stuff that we were doing, like on Thursdays for worship practice and stuff, you know, I began to see them in the light that I should, and I was, you know, more loving towards them and those type of things, and it changed me, and I saw that in that moment. I was like, wow, that person, sadly, was holding me back from moving forward in my walk with God and how I need to see people, and there may be people in your own life that are like that. They're holding you back. That aunt that calls you and you love, you know, like, kind of hearing the juice of, like, what's going on in the family, but now it's really hard for you to pray for your family, your siblings, and, you know, the people across the country or whatever. Or that coworker that you like to have lunch with, but man, you come back and your mind is just, like, dirty after lunch, you know, and you're like, man, is this person, like, holding me back, or are they pushing me forward and closer to God? And so, as we end tonight, I want us to take just a few moments here, and I'll ask you to just bow your heads with me. Because what I really believe is that each one of us desires so strongly, it's ingrained into our DNA as believers when we come to know Jesus, that we want to go all in with him. But there are things that seem to hold us back sometimes. It can be simple stuff. It can be big, giant stuff. But God's saying, hey, let's leave all that behind. I love you. I care for you. I want to be close to you. Come all in with me. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. And I love what we were doing tonight. Everything seemed to be about that. It's just what Holy Spirit wants to do. The worship, that last song, God, I just want to be all with you. Our time at the altar. But what I want you to do in this moment, regardless if you're watching online or you're here in the room, just take about 60 seconds. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you. Maybe it's one thing that you feel is holding you back from going all in, enjoying that entire, that deep swim, that all the goodness that God has for you. What's that one thing? And then once you got that, this is what's great. It's not up to you to try and figure it out. It's just up to you to recognize it and ask Dr. Jesus to transform that. So once you got that thing, I just want you to take a moment and say, Jesus, I give this to you. Change this in me. I want to go all in. Just have that moment with Jesus. Just take about 60 seconds. Thank you, Jesus.
you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you begin to paint that picture of that deep pool and your Father in the midst, there to support us, hold us, build our trust in you so that we can jump in feet first, cannonball with you, get submerged in all that you are, holding nothing back because we're with our dad, because we're with our Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just believe Holy Spirit's sealing that image in your mind. That thing or things that he's highlighting to you. You're free. You are an overcomer. You're able to enjoy fully, holding nothing back from your walk with God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before we end, everyone, just keep your head bowed, eyes closed. I just want to give an opportunity. If you're hearing this tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not in relationship with him and you want this relationship, you want to view him as a dad in a pool, able to catch you and support you and hold you, and you've never asked him to be Lord of your life, and you want to do that tonight. He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your Lord. And I ask, with no one looking around, if that's you, if you just pop your hand up, anyone in this place? Just want to go quick. Awesome. That's awesome. Who else? Awesome. And some of you may be watching online as well. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. So we're going to do that just as a family. We had someone in here. I'm sure we got people watching online to do the same. So just repeat this after me. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. You are my King, my friend, my Father. God, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I receive your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. That's so good. Well, family, thank you so much for coming tonight. Thank you for watching online as well. Be blessed. Hope you guys have a great week. If you need prayer, we got people up front here to pray for you. And if you want to sign up again for the conference, do that over in the foyer, or you can do that online as well. So bless you guys. Have a great week.